This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of the School of Influence podcast. And today we are changing it up a little bit, and we are having a good friend of Neil's. So I'm going to let Neil make the introduction today.
All right. Well, I'm really excited to have my friend John Lee Dumas. Otherwise, people just call him JLD. And he's really a guy that needs no introduction. When we think of, or in my world, when I think of influencers, you know, talking to people like, well, you know, I became an online entrepreneur. I listened to Pat Flynn's podcast. I listened to John Lee Dumas's podcast, or I listened to John Lee Dumas's podcast. I listened to Pat Flynn's podcast. And literally, he is one of the few people that listen to all the time that are big fans of and that support him, whatever he's done. And JLD is a guy, he's done many things, obviously beginning with the podcast, but really going on from there. And I think it's going to be great to understand and have John tell us all about influence and what he's done with it and what he continues to do with it. I just want to say before I bring John on that I published The Age of Influence a year ago. And, you know, I sent a bunch of blurbs of, you know, people that I have a lot of respect for that agreed to, you know, help promote the book by writing a one or two sentence. And of all the blurbs they received from a lot of famous authors, marketers, what have you, if you go to Amazon, JLD's is right there on top. And that was all HarperCollins saying, this is the biggest influencer from all. So JLD, welcome.
Well, brother, it is great to be here. I will tell you that that blurb came from the heart. I can guarantee you that. I'm sure it was on brand as well. And now that I'm publishing my own book with HarperCollins, it's kind of full circle. So what a fun time we have.
Indeed it is, John. But let's like turn the clock back. So you were actually on my Maximize Your Social Influence podcast fairly recently, and we talked about how you started influence with the podcast. Now, this podcast likes to look at, you know, famous entrepreneurs, influencers like yourself and sort of reverse engineer the process. So I know from the story, you know, you started just without the idea of becoming an influencer, but over time, beginning with that podcast, you've been able to yield influence. Obviously, it was completely organic, but how do you think it happened looking back at yourself?
Looking back, it was 2012. And I looked around and I said, man, I know from the fact of Jim Rohn's book that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And my five sucks. Like, this is just not impressive. I mean, they're good people overall, but I mean, they are not motivating. They're not inspiring. They're not, you know, striving for better things. I had to improve my five. So I started looking around and said, how can I improve my average of the five people I spend the most time with? And I did that by starting to listen to podcasts by that person you mentioned already, Pat Flynn, getting to kind of be a fly on the wall of conversations with Pat and the other amazing great guests he brought on. And I was like, well, this is cool, but what if I could actually be having those conversations and actually building relationships with successful entrepreneurs? That would improve my five a lot better and a lot faster. And what if instead of doing it once every other week, which that slacker Pat Flynn does, what if I did one not once a week, not twice a week? What if I went totally mental and did 7 days a week? And I was just like, that is the most brilliant idea I have ever thought of. And I immediately hired a mentor. I immediately hired joined a mastermind. And my mentor, Jamie Masters, a successful business podcast host, said, that is the stupidest idea I have ever heard. But then I went to Cliff Ravenscraft, the podcast answer man. I'm like, surely he'll agree that this is the best idea he's ever heard. And he said, that is the stupidest idea I have ever heard. So here you have two of the Illuminary podcast hosts telling me what a stupid idea my 7-day a week podcast was. But I knew they were wrong, because I knew that I was going to be a really bad podcaster. And how do you get better at something? You actually do that thing. You put in the flipping reps. So I said, I'm not going to get good podcasting doing it 4 times per month or 2 times per month if I'm Pat Flynn. Like, hello, I've got to put in the reps. I'm going to be bad for a long time. So let's speed up that process. So man, I launched that daily podcast back in 2012 and I was not good. Luckily, the guests that I had on were good and I got to ask like 4 questions and step out of the way and let them add all the value in the world they could. And, you know, slowly I got better. Slowly the interviews got better. Slowly everything improved. And now you and I are talking and I've done 3,000 episodes. I have over 100 million listens of Entrepreneurs on Fire. I have 1.4 million monthly listens. And we actually just published our 90th monthly income report, where we reported a over $100,000 net profit 90 months in a row. So we're transparent with our revenue. We're transparent with our numbers. We're transparent with our business, both the good and the bad, by the way. There's been plenty of mistakes that we've made along the way that we share just as quickly as our successes, because yeah, that's just what we do. We fail, we get up, we try again, and we make things happen.
Okay. So muscle memory, I get, right? The transparency, bringing along people for the journey and having great guests, which you obviously became friends with. But at what point was there like a trigger point, like, you know, the 1,000th episode, or, you know, at some point where it's like, this has legs? And I know at some point you began to get into books, into journals, and we'll talk about your latest book coming out as well. But what was the tipping point that got you to that next level, you think?
Honestly, the tipping point was my decision to join Cliff Ravenscraft's mastermind. So pre-launch, I joined his mastermind. It was $3,500 to join this year-long mastermind, which was a lot of money to me at the time. Still a lot of money today. That's a lot of money. And I said, this is something I got to do. This is an investment I have to make in myself, because I got to learn from Cliff, the podcast answer man himself. I've got to surround myself with other podcasters in this mastermind who are doing the thing. So I joined and I worked hard in the mastermind and I launched a daily podcast despite Cliff telling me not to and all the other people saying it's a bad idea. But Cliff saw that I was getting some traction. He saw that I was working hard. And so on a upcoming conference that was happening called New Media Expo back in January of 2013, somebody dropped out. A podcaster that was supposed to speak dropped out. And Cliff was the track leader of the podcast track. And he said, John, you haven't been doing this for long, but you got a couple hundred episodes under your belt. You're doing a daily show. You're doing something new and different. You want to talk about it at the event? I'm like, absolutely. And that changed everything. Like now, instead of going to an event, being an attendee and learning in the audience, like I was in the speaker's lounge, rubbing elbows with speakers, going to speakers' dinners, like speaking from stage, cementing my status as a podcast influencer just a few months into my podcast. Like it was such a lucky break for me. And I took that lucky break and I just maximized it. Like I maxed it out and I never looked back.
Awesome. Amanda, I know we've talked about, you know, influencer collaborations or the relationships and how influential they are. What do you think?
Yeah, that's kind of exactly what I was thinking when you were saying that it was because of this. First, I thought the mastermind, I thought it was maybe something you learned in the mastermind. And I thought, oh, that'll be interesting. Please share. But it seems to always get back to like the people that you work, like all of business's relationships. And by partnering with other people or developing these relationships, those are when the doors open. And that's something that is really hard to quantify on, you know, you're not, what was the relationship? What's the ROI on your relationship with, you know, X people or entrepreneurs? But I can imagine that, like, given, you know, this man and so many other entrepreneurs that have had you had on the show and the relationships you developed, that it opened so many different opportunities for both them. I'm sure you've helped scale a lot of other people's businesses and given them a lot of opportunity and vice versa. But can you talk a little bit about a story of how that helped both sides grow? That's because I think people listening to this, or people looking to invest in a podcast or in a mastermind or something, are like, what are the list of tangible benefits that I'm going to get? like what you just demonstrated there was like, that probably was not on the list of things you were going to get in the mastermind.
Well, first off, I mean, do you really think Neil would be where he is today without his feature on Entrepreneurs on Fire? I mean, no way. I mean,
damn right, man.
It's why I reached out to him myself, actually, when I saw that.
I can't tell if you're kidding. I think you're serious, though. I'm gonna take the fact that you're serious on that. But now, all joking aside, obviously, Neil's a rock star. But all joking aside, listen, I got to interview this guy called Russell Brunson. I'd never heard of him before. I'd never heard of ClickFunnels before. He had just launched a company. And I was just like, this is interesting. This is really fascinating. This is something that I could use. And I know that my audience could use as well. So after the interview was done, like I scheduled a separate time to talk to Russell, which he agreed to do because, you know, we had had a good connection on the interview and it was a great interview and a lot of people loved it. And I said, Russell, I think that we can do something big here. I think my audience would love, you know, to learn more about ClickFunnels and I can continue to introduce it to them like in an ongoing basis. He said, let's do this. And so we really went deep on the affiliate side of things. And to date, we've generated, and that means like cash in pocket, over $1.4 million just from deciding to partner up with ClickFunnels and have like a few webinars and a special landing page and like a funnel where when people go through my email sequence, I recommend that company. And, you know, people are always joining. And that's just one example of a collaboration that happens that, you know, has netted me over seven figures of, you know, net profit in my pocket just over the past handful of years and continues to do so on a weekly basis. So that's just one example of countless I could share over the years.
Can I just ask as well, like when you got into this, like there's so many, what you do is it probably wasn't as popular back in 2012, but now everybody wants to be in the space that you're in and be as successful in that space and be the GALD of the space, right? So how do you go about, you know, but very few are. What do you think? And there are a lot of people that, you know, they're in the whole Gary Vee hustle, hustle, hustle. And yes, I'm going to do this every single day and all this kind of stuff, but they're not successful. What do you believe was it that made some factors that made you successful? And did you have sort of like indicators along the way, or was there even a goal of like, I'm going to get to a certain point. This is what I want to achieve. And if I don't achieve that, then at least I'll have known and I've tried.
Here's the reason why I was successful. And then I'm going to share how other people can be successful today in 2021. When I launched Entrepreneurs on Fire in 2012, the day that I launched, it was the best daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. It was the worst daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. It was the only daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. I won because I was the only. I niched down and I was the only daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. So if you wanted that kind of quantity, I was the only show in town. The quote people have to remember is the higher the barrier, the lower the competition. I set a barrier so high it was 7 days a week. I had no competition. People could not keep up. They could not compete with me. So I kept winning at a grand level and having the first mover advantage, the snowball effect, all those things were helping. I built a literal moat around my business. So often you have people, they do come up with a great idea, by the way, and they have success with that idea, rightfully so. But their idea is easily replicated. And so then people pour into it, it gets saturated, and everybody loses. The person who had the idea that's having initial success, everybody loses because your idea is easily replicated because you don't have a high barrier. You have a low barrier. So everybody jumps over that low barrier and you have massive competition. Like a random example is, why is every product that has success on Amazon get copied by people in China and overnight, like those people fail? Because it's easily replicated. It's just a faceless product. And you can fill that blank in for anything that a lot of people are doing these days. So in 2021 today, how can you be the best solution to one single real problem that exists? Not the second best, not the 34th best. You will lose in every one of those scenarios. But how can you be the best solution to one single problem? Listen, Entrepreneurs on Fire launching in 2021. With my skill set of 2012, fails miserably. It doesn't work. The market's already saturated for an interview-based podcast. It just doesn't work. My skill set doesn't allow me to get good in time. Back in 2012, there was a handful of podcasts. I was able to be the only daily podcast for a significant amount of time and get good. And then by the time that the masses started pouring in, my moat was in place. My barrier was incredibly high. That's how you win in 2021. Doesn't matter the industry, doesn't matter the niche, doesn't matter the vertical. That's the answer. Have the best solution to a real problem.
Awesome advice. I want to switch gears now. So you talked about, you know, ClickFunnels, so, you know, your revenue sources, and obviously you've been publishing these on your blog, but at some point you decided to create your own product, right? So you got podcasting, you know, ad revenue, you got affiliate marketing. I believe that you have a podcast course, and then you created, like, you know, the diary, right? What went into that? What was the mindset when you, I mean, creating a product? I know the Kickstarter, by the way, you know, one of the most successful in Kickstarter history, literally generating hundreds of thousands of dollars. But what was the mindset? And why do you think you were so successful translating a podcast to a journal?
Does this look like a diary, Neil? Does this look like a diary? This is a gorgeous faux leather, gold embossed journal. You did correct yourself at the end there. So I appreciate that. But yeah, listen, in 33 days, that journal you just saw, the Freedom Journal, Accomplish Your Number One Goal in 100 Days, did $500,000 in revenue. A $39 journal was the sixth most funded publishing campaign of all time on Kickstarter, and it just blew the doors off. The Freedom Journal was created not from here. I didn't come up with that idea. Podcaster's Paradise, you mentioned my podcasting course. I did not come up with that idea. Podcaster's Paradise has done over $7 million in revenue. My other journals, my other courses, my masterminds, this and that, none of them were my ideas. I did one simple thing over and over again. I looked at my audience that I was delivering free, valuable, and consistent content to, Fire Nation. And I said, what are you struggling with? What are you, my listeners, my audience, what are you struggling with? And then here I am, the person that they know, like, and trust, because they're listening to fantastic interviews with Neil and Tim Ferriss and Gary Vaynerchuk and all the other awesome people I have on my show. So they know, like, and trust me as someone that's giving them free value on a consistent basis. And I am asking them what they're struggling with. They're telling me, and then I'm handing them the solution in the form of a product or a community or a service, whatever that might be. That's how every idea that I've had that's been a success has come about, my audience.
I love that. That was actually how I started my first business. And it was a thesis project in business school. That was exactly that, like, build the audience first, back when YouTube was in its infancy.
Wow.
And they'll tell you what they want. And I couldn't believe watching people, like, you know, when YouTube was completely in its infancy, and watching some of these people, are we putting the cart before the horse in business school, where you're trying, we're going to push our product or service at people? What if we just create this audience and they will tell you, they'll tell you what they want. So I've never heard anyone say it in that way before. So that's exciting to me. One question I do have, though, when you started 7 days a week interviewing entrepreneurs, yes, high barrier to entry, namely because you have to know a ton of entrepreneurs. So did you have, like, a golden Rolodex, or, like, did you have, because half the battle is getting these, finding these people, getting in touch with them, setting it up, going through their people and their people's people, and then coming through. And that's 7 days a week. I mean, what was your strategy, or was there one? Or did you just, like, pull from that? Did you have another black book like that beautiful one that was faux leather as well, that had all of your contacts?
That was Cliff's biggest thing. That was Jamie's biggest thing. Like, how are you going to find all these people? And at first glance, I had no idea, like most people. But what I'm about to tell you is so simple, it almost hurts the brain when it's revealed. I went to a website called Google, and I typed in Google, best entrepreneur conferences, massive amount of results. Now, did I go to those conferences? Absolutely not. A lot of them were in the past or in the future. But I went to the websites of those conferences, and I clicked on the speakers tab, and the speakers tab had 10, 50, 30, 75 people. I mean, social media marketing world has over 300 speakers, whatever number that is. And it tells you their bio, what they're speaking about, their contents, their websites. I clicked on the website, clicked on the contact form, and I said, Neil, you're speaking at Social Media Marketing World on this fantastic topic. I would love you to come on my podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and share that topic, your knowledge, your expertise with my audience. And guess what? At Social Media Marketing World, you're flying across the country, you're staying in a hotel room for 3 days, and you're speaking in front of 45 people. On my podcast, you're waking up in the morning, you're not even putting on pants. You're going to grab a cup of coffee, and you're going to sit down for my audio-only interview. This is going to be done in 30 minutes, and it's going to reach a lot more people. Some pretty compelling arguments. did not work 100% of the time because nobody heard of me or my show, but it worked enough to get the ball rolling. And then once you get a couple of lucky breaks, like Seth Godin said yes, Tim Ferriss said yes, they were in promotion mode. They were being interviewed for their book, much like I am right now. And then once I got those big names on my show, who's going to say no?
The influencer effect, halo effect.
The halo effect. And that's the snowball effect from that one or two or just momentum that you get.
Yeah. You offered them and you positioned it as an opportunity for them, which is something I think it's a great takeaway.
Hey, John, I wanted to ask you, I think a lot of people listening, and it's funny, yesterday we interviewed the CEO of Barry's Bootcamp, now just known as Barry's. And he was talking about how they developed this like world-class exercise routine, but yet it, you know, I don't know if it purely came from customer feedback, but it plays a huge part in what they do there. So for those companies, you know, CEOs, listening, marketers, entrepreneurs, I know you probably have a very easy answer to this, but what are the things you did to find out what your community wanted? You know, I hear about people of like, hey, we'll just, you know, schedule phone calls to people from our list every week, or we'll send out Survey Monkeys. There's probably a lot easier ways to do that, but was it things that you just got a sense from different people talking to you, you know, anecdotally, or was it more structured, or what exactly did you do?
You have to be proactive because people don't love to engage, but I was so proactive. I let it be known on my podcast episodes. I wanted to hear from my audience. I said, send me an email. Here's my email. Send me a social media message. Here's my social media. Any way that I could get people to reach out to me, or when they just reached out on their own and said, hey, by the way, great show that I loved it. I would always reply back and I would say, can I jump on a Skype call with you? And I literally did hundreds of the 5-minute Skype calls. If they said no, because not everybody wants to, I then just replied to them with these four questions, which are the same four questions I asked them on Skype, which is, Neil, how did you first hear about Entrepreneurs on Fire? I'm just trying to find out how people are actually hearing about my show so I can pour some igniter fluid and amplify the things that are actually working, and the things that aren't working that I'm not hearing about, I can stop doing. Number two, what do you like about the show? I want to know what you actually like about the show. I'd love to make sure I keep those things in. Number three, what don't you like about the show? And if one person says one thing, I kind of dismiss it. But if I hear the same thing over and over again, then I take notice. And number four, the most important question, which I've already talked about, what's your biggest struggle right now? That allowed me to understand and know my audience, create my next product, my next service, and serve them in the best possible manner.
Awesome. Thank you, my friend. It's so easy, yet so few people do it. And that's probably one of the reasons why it's effective. I'm sure people freaked out hearing from you as well, right?
They freaked out. They're just like, oh my God, like you're like this podcast guy, you're interviewing people. I'm like, I am literally this inexperienced, poor interview host of a show that, like, you know, doesn't even have that many listens right now. But, you know, perception is reality. And there was a high perceived value of a podcast host back in 2012. Less so now. I mean, there still is a perceived value. But back then it was kind of like, oh, wow, this person's got it together. He's like, you know, on the same par as like a radio host of some, you know, whatever. So perception is reality.
Amen, brother. So fast forward to your next project. And I'm assuming that once again, you know, your audience has spoken. And this time, instead of a real deluxe, you know, leather journal, you decided to come out with an old fashioned book.
Well, that was multiple projects I had, because after that fancy deluxe journal, I followed it up with another fancy deluxe journal, the Mastery Journal, Master Productivity, Discipline, and Focus in 100 Days, another gorgeous faux leather journal. The following year, I followed it up with another beautiful journal, a little more on brand colors, the Podcast Journal, how to going from idea to launch in 50 days. And, you know, then I took a break. But then during my 2020 quarantine, I sat down and I said, man, I've interviewed 3,000 successful entrepreneurs. I've learned so much from every single one of them. Let me distill these principles down. Let me boil these foundational elements that all of these successful entrepreneurs have in common. And when I boiled it down, cut the fat out, I looked down, I was looking at 17 core foundational principles that every successful entrepreneur had hit upon throughout their journey to uncommon success. I arranged them chronologically and I'm like, I'm looking at a treasure map. I mean, I am literally looking at a treasure map, a 17-step roadmap to your financial freedom and fulfillment. And that's the book. That is The Common Path to Uncommon Success, a 17-step roadmap to financial freedom and fulfillment. It is step one, literally to step done, which is step 17. And this is 480 writing hours of me pouring my blood, sweat, and tears into these 71,000 words. I wrote every single one of these words myself. A lot of helpful editing by HarperCollins, I will say, by the way. But at the end of the day, it was a lot of work. And I have personal endorsements from Seth Godin, Gary Vaynerchuk, Neil Patel, Erica Mandy, Dory Clark, just amazing individuals in their fields. And I'm going all out on this. This is my essential gift of the 3,000 interviews that I've already gifted to everybody. Now it's like, this is what the 17 core foundational principles are in one book, in one place. Follow these 17 steps. You will find uncommon success.
That's awesome. Congrats, man.
Can't wait to read it.
Yeah. Are these things that you have? So a lot of people will podcast their book or blog their book, right? But it sounds like in your case, this is something you've never really talked about. It was an epiphany moment during quarantine or lockdown that you decided to invest the time in. So this is all new content, I assume.
All brand new, but all foundational elements that every single entrepreneur has trod upon on their path to uncommon success. I've just put it down into the 17-step roadmap. So, I mean, there's nothing new and revolutionary here, but it's exactly what you need. It is the steps, the processes, and I can guarantee you that nobody watching or listening is crushing all 17 steps. It's virtually impossible. And this book is either going to be able to take you right from a blank slate to uncommon success. Like, that's going to be a great step. Or if you're like already at step 7, 14, wherever you might be, you're going to start at step one and you've got to confirm and validate that you actually did that part right. Maybe tweak and adjust as you figure out, okay, wow, like I really needed to add these things. Or in some cases, man, I just gotta throw out my old playbook because it is time for a fresh start. And this is going to get me there because this is it. This is the roadmap.
This is very inspiring. It's funny because we've had a lot of really interesting, inspiring people. And I have to say, this is a very inspiring conversation. And I think one of the things that the big takeaways for me that I hope that everybody gets from this is that, especially given, because you're the only person I think we've interviewed in this space that you're in terms of that, like kind of like influencer podcaster, that's actually made a huge career out of it. And that's something that, you know, I have a zillion students, seniors that are seniors in college, and that's their goal, that they want to do what you're doing. And how do they do it? Because they also think it looks very glamorous and it seems so simple. And you made it right up a lot of points that yes, it's simple, but simple does not mean easy. And I think what people don't see is that you committed to it. Like it is a business and it is a lot of work. And just because it's simple doesn't mean that it's not a lot of work and that you were just like this overnight success that just kind of like wakes up and spends 30 minutes a day and then you go surf the rest of the day. Right. So I think that's really important because we tend to see the success and the craft and we're like, oh, they're the influencer. They're just so lucky. They just like kind of fell into it. And it was really, but there was a lot of infrastructure built there. So I think it's a really great story and takeaway to see sort of the behind the build. You did a lot of smart things and, you know, kind of defined how I teach influencer marketing. So I love it.
Well, thank you. I will say I'm a huge believer in the quote that, you know, every overnight success is 10 years in the making. I mean, that is an absolute certainty for sure. And it's a very common path. This is what I want to be clear about. This is a common path because thousands and thousands of us successful entrepreneurs have trod upon this very common path to get to uncommon success. It's achievable and is doable for anybody. This isn't a secret path. It's not the hidden path. It's not the complicated path. It is the common path. But let me be very clear. It takes hard work. It is the opposite of easy. And that's why it's worth it. Because if everybody could do it, it goes back to what I shared earlier. People would replicate it and people would saturate it and nobody would win on any levels. Everybody fails. But when it's hard, all the lazy people, all the people that aren't willing to put in the work,
weed them out.
They're weeded out. They're gone. Not a chance. And those who rise to the top disproportionately win. I mean, disproportionately win. I mean, Again, I just hit my 90th month in a row of $100,000 of net profit or more. That's a massive win. That's over $20 million that we've generated just since 2012. I mean, that is money that comes because I disproportionately outworked, because I disproportionately built a barrier that could not be replicated. That moat is the reason we've won at such a high level.
And you continue to do so, my friend. And I mean, the book, it sounds amazing. It's funny because when you get to a certain level, it all seems so easy. But for a lot of people that want to read the book, they don't have the process. They don't have the systems. They don't have the knowledge that you've built up over the years. So it's a true blessing that you've written the book. I can't wait to read it. And I encourage everyone listening to go out and get a copy today. Although it's actually not out until March. What's the drop date?
Listen, March 23rd is the day this book goes live, but do not wait for launch day, because I have 5 insane bonuses for every single person who places a pre-order. And I mean,
amen.
Flippin' insane. I told you, talked about those 3 journals, that gorgeous faux leather, gold, silver, beautiful stuff.
Deluxe.
Those are 3 of my best works ever. You can buy them all 3 right now on Amazon for $150. Or you can pre-order the $16 Kindle version or $26 hardcover of this book. And I'm going to ship you all 3 of my journals, the Freedom, Mastery, and Podcast Journal, to your door. Amanda, I'm talking to you. I'm going to ship these to your doorstep for free with 1 single pre-order. There's 4 other amazing bonuses as well. I won't bore you with them right now. You got to go find out for yourself over at uncommonsuccessbook.com. You'll get to see the endorsements by Seth Godin, Gary Vaynerchuk, all the other awesome people, a video of me explaining more details about the book. You've got the first chapter there for free, by the way, so you can see my writing style and, you know, all that jazz. And all 5 bonuses are listed out there as well, so you can see what you're getting with 1 single pre-order. So uncommonsuccessbook.com.
I was going to ask you, and where do we go? And you are the successful master.
We'll make sure that's in the show notes. And yeah, I mean, and Amanda, she published this year, last year, so did I. So yeah, so the pre-order campaign, and I've seen a lot of pre-order campaign. That is amazing, my friend. And those are being shipped out to you from Puerto Rico, by the way.
Yeah, I'm losing money on every single pre-order. But listen, it's not about the money for this book. This book is not about the money. This is about getting this roadmap, this common path into your hands. That's it. I've made it long, long ago. I could be on my Puerto Rican beach right behind me, sipping Mai Tais right now, but that's not what lights me up inside. This is my zone of fire. And I want to teach you how to get to your zone of fire.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for your time. Great to meet you.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with hashtag School of Influence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcasts.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.